Welcome to Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow.
Awesome. Welcome to Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow. I am interviewing a rock star today, Miss Gina Cavalier, the Liberated Healer. Gina is, it would take up the whole podcast if I were to tell you everything that Gina is doing, but let me just say she is a media veteran. She has a podcast, which is The Liberated Healer, and I will post that in the comments. She also has a nonprofit. Working on documentaries. There is so much that you're doing. But what I really want to just say is, when I look at what you do, Gina, your book is coming out, and I really want to talk about that. But in just reviewing it, it moves my soul, because I call you a rock star because that's just how you are in the world. But what you represent to me is an individual that took pain and created not only her own liberated healing, but is showing that to the world. So here is Gina. Say hi, Gina.
Hi, everybody. Gina Cavalier. It kind of all fell into the right place. And that's why I felt so compelled to this message, because I know there's a lot of people out there who felt like maybe their life had no meaning, or that it was never going to happen for them. And I just turned 54. So it's not a something that can happen like in your 20s or 30s, or you're like not past your prime. And a lot of people my age is like, well, I'm just kind of charting my course towards this. I guess that didn't happen. And even though I had my own trauma to heal, I still was like, no, I still think that this is going to happen. And once I started getting to that clear path where I was in service, number one, to humanity, and that I had a message, and that it was just going to unfold. And I got a book deal last year with the Swedenborg Foundation. I put together this Surviving Suicidal Ideation book. I just started connecting with my spirit in deep ways, and I started receiving the messages and understanding that they were for me. And that's how I put a trauma-informed therapist on it. That's where I got Thomas Moore to write the foreword. That's where I went with the Swedenborg Foundation, because they're a nonprofit and they're going to send out books to someone who can't afford them if they're having a hard time. So it's not about the sales and the money. And for this book, I really thought we needed that. We lose one person every 11 minutes in the United States alone, 132 people a day, 50,000 people a year, just in the United States. That's not including the 12.7 million people who have had an attempt. That is not including the 1.7 million people that, the numbers just go crazy from there. So what we're trying to do is bring levity to the conversations of having these thoughts, so they're not in the shadows. And I do that, we know we have to talk to express ourselves. And as we do that, we get lighter and we see that other people are suffering as well. Yeah. So it's more about taking it out of the shadows, taking it out of the taboo area, letting the people that are suffering have a place to go. Also, the people that might have already lost someone, to try to understand it a little bit, that, that they can maybe heal too. Because I've been seeing a lot of sad stories about people really stuck after someone leaves and realizing it's not their fault, you know, and things like that. Like, we got to start somewhere.
So, I love that. Yeah. I love that. So Surviving Suicidal Ideation, which is therapeutic. It's about spirituality. You co-authored it with Dr. Amanda Kelly. Shout out to her. And what's so beautiful about this is exactly what you said. I think that there is such a shame spiral to even admit that maybe you had this thought. And I love that you're taking it out of the shadow and you're actually bringing it to the healthy conversations. Let's just talk about this, because yeah. I want to ask you, what happens to a person who ignores suicidal ideation? What happens to, well, we know what happens and what, how does it impact their life?
Yeah.
Can you, yeah.
Well, in our book, we have the five phases of suicidal ideation, and then we have the five phases of healing. So they kind of correlate, but, you know, they're all different type, it's like a fingerprint. Everybody has a different story in a different way. So it's really hard to say exactly, but a common theme I've been hearing a lot lately with people that have been feeling this way is that there's a sense of, they get to a point where there's a sense of disconnectedness, and that traumas or things that have been said to them or things that are playing in their mind, or they might have a medical condition, a bipolar situation or something, but whatever happens, it's almost like on top, layering on cake, on top of a cake, on top of a cake, till you get to a point where you become numb and you just say, I don't belong here. I just don't fit in. I don't fit in with that group. I don't fit in with that group, or the trauma replays in the head or whatever their storyline is. And so once that disconnection happens, that's when it gets serious in my mind, because, and some people are super spiritual, some people aren't. So I try to always keep it open. But for me, it was a spiritual disconnection. So if you lose that spiritual connect, if you disconnect from spirit in a way where you can't feel it, that there is an outer source that's higher than yourself, that is holding you and embracing you when you're going through stuff, that's when I think you're going down dark, a slippery slope, because that connection that you have to your spirit, your soul, that's what gives you all that vibrance, the life, the colors, that, hey, I'm not alone in this world, even when I feel like I'm alone in this world. So that disconnection, I repeat a lot. Two things for me was the disconnection, but also I didn't realize I didn't love myself, that I loved everything and everyone else, my animals, the people in my life, my friends, my family, my job. I just would give, and go home and just fall asleep. And then when things weren't working out, why did that person betray me? Why did that this happen? Why did I get put in this position? How come? And I almost felt like I was drowning. I was always getting called out for stuff. I felt like I had a big sign on my back that said, kick me. And I would go into these self-pity modes, like, what am I doing wrong? I'm constantly giving out love. What I was doing wrong is I wasn't learning how to love myself.
Wow.
And so anybody who's playing those things in my mind, you would have wanted to die too. Cause I was like, you know what? You don't belong here. You're worthless. You're not worthy of love. You messed up on, you sent out the wrong email, you know, whatever it is. Like we find so many ways just to start carrying this heaviness with us. The competitive energy, the resentment energy, that person left me because I'm not good enough or whatever. These things that play like little records in your head. But when you start to find self-love and you start changing that dialogue, which I almost created a second self, like a best friend. And my best friend would say, nope, you're not talking to yourself like that today, Gina. And I go, oh, okay. Nope, you're not doing that today. And so this second self that I kind of created, it was like, nope, okay, so you could have done that better. What are we going to learn from that right now? Okay, I'm going to learn how to have my voice or whatever it was. So that self-love and that second self became like this protector. And once I fell in love with myself, you don't want to hurt yourself.
Aww.
You don't want to stub your toe.
Yeah.
You don't want to... You know, so the thought of hurting yourself, because you can grandiose exiting the world, right? But this is what I always tell people. It's a permanent solution for a temporary problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't make a permanent decision for a temporary problem.
Yeah.
Period. Wait, and then we always tell people, and this is from Jordan Peterson, because I was trying to figure out how do I say this to people if you're suffering right now. Can you wait one more day?
Yeah.
Because the energy shifts usually within a day. Because when you're feeling that, okay, you know what? Nope, I'm done. Like, there's nothing here. You have to talk yourself into waiting one more day. Just wait one more day. And usually that next day, there's some reprieve, the energy shifts, but you don't want to make a permanent fix to something that's temporary.
That is really, really well said. And I do want to ask you a question, like, is there a method that you could kind of give us? But you kind of already did give us something, if you have any more. But what you said is, be your own best friend and let they, them, he, she, it protect you. And to me, it's almost like, oh, maybe she's talking about my higher self, or maybe she's talking about my parallel universe self that came back to save me. But I absolutely have thoughts like, wow, if my friend came up to me and said the things that I'm telling myself, I'd be like, hey, quit being mean, you know?
Yeah.
Love you. I love you. And if we can do that for ourselves, that is huge. That's huge. Do you have any other like quick methods that might point any individual that maybe this is touching and they're just like, okay, well, let me get another method really quickly. What would you share with them, Gina?
You'll hear a lot of people talking about grounding or earthing. You know, we're so full of energy. You know, we're just, and this is quantum physics. I don't need to explain that at this point, but we're so full of energy. What's, I feel like kind of saved me is when I learned about energy and how it affected me, because I was an empath and I was very sensitive. So when someone threw judgment on me, I would just be like, oh, and I'm like, okay, maybe you're, now I'm like, mm-mm. Like, I learned how to protect my energy. I learned how to ground. And I'm not throwing it back to other people, but, and I know you teach grounding techniques, but for me, and I explain it to people who don't really understand energy, because a lot of people in our circle understand it, but some people from the outside, what they don't understand. And when I say this to them, they get it. When you're building a home, an electrician is coming in and putting the wiring in. The very first thing when they're wiring every single socket is they put a grounding cord on to the house. They put it in the dirt. And I never understood what that was. It's like, I mean, it's just a wire and it's the lights come on, right? If they didn't do that, the energy would go all around the house and it would be chaotic and crazy, right?
Right.
So why did an electrician do that? It's the same thing when we put a grounding cord on. We're energy all over the place, right? This is us just vibrating, right? We're just these magnificent beings. So we lost the grounding because it was programmed out of us from society about 200 years ago, right?
Right?
So they did that so they could keep us like anxious in a box. They could control us. They could, you know, then we added cement to everything. We added, you know, technology to everything. And that's why we now are the richest, the most medicated, and the most oppressed.
Wow.
Than we used to. So we have everything we've ever wanted, really, in a society.
Right.
We have every medication that we could get our hands on, but we're all depressed. Like, the numbers are staggering. It is an actual epidemic we're talking about, more so than Corona ever was, ever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So why are we not putting attention to this? Like, we, do you know how many billions and all the attention and all the governments went on to that? What about all these people with mental, why is this not 911?
Right.
You know, but the grounding, my friends, either I have links, you have links, but, and for whatever reason, I know what reason, but it will just calm you down. It will put you back into the earth. And it will release, naturally release the energies that are low, the low spirals, the resentments, fatigue, the anxiety, the sadness, the PTSD. It'll help to put you down so you can deal with conflicts and obstacles that come, because they come every day. It's just a fact. If you try to tell me I can't deal with any conflict, then you really have to learn how to deal with conflict. It's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
So how are you going to deal with that conflict? And so grounding for me, because when you have all these issues, like I said, and you're already being very sensitive, and then another conflict comes, like you lose your job.
Right.
That's when people want to go. Or their partner broke up with them, or they found out they were cheating, or something really big, right? You're already unstable. So you, even if you need help right now to get stable, understand that and work your way back. But if you're feeling even in a good spot, you want to stay there. These techniques are still for people that are in a good spot, because it's like something's going to come to all of us at one point. We're going to lose a person in our life. So I look at it as little mountains, right? And there are paths in the mountains, and we're always going to be climbing a little mountain. You can decide if you want to carry a boulder up that mountain, or if you're going to be light and you're going to see the path illuminate, because you're going to walk through it clearer. And as you clear your mind through meditation or other energy techniques and grounding, you can go. It's weird. When you really connect to spirit, all of a sudden that path, it's almost like a video game to me. That path kind of lightens up.
Yeah.
You know, or the answers lighten up with the intuition. It's like, no, you shouldn't sign that contract with that person. They haven't gotten to the point. You're not equal resonance right now.
Right.
Not a judgment, but you can make a judgment for yourself. Or yes, move with that company. They resonate on your level. It's almost like you start to see the path.
Yes.
And there's a clarity that comes. And
yes.
So now you feel like you have seniority in your body. You feel like you're the master of your own future.
Yes.
And you are the only one that's with you 24/7. That's why I created the Liberated Healer. People are like, are you the Liberated Healer? And I go, yeah, but so are you. And so are you. And so are you. By creating your own healing, because, you know, I was seeing a lot of different people that were learning and studying these healing techniques, but I couldn't just, when I was feeling sad, just run off and go get a Reiki session. So I needed to figure out, how can I, in a moment's notice, control my environment? And that's what this is basically, like learning how to heal yourself 24/7 at all times. And you can add any kind of things on it, going to a shaman for a retreat, or you know, add what you like.
Yeah,
but you have to have the base, and you have to be your own healer.
Just really quick, you guys, the Liberated Healer. Follow her on YouTube. It's literally www.theliberatedhealer.com. And once you plug in, you find this empowered, beautiful soul that is pulling her stories out of the shadow and saying, hey, I give you permission to love yourself. I give me permission to love myself. And the greatest healer is you, because you're with you 24/7. And so her book is coming out. You can pre-order it. If you look on theliberatedhealer.com, it has all the different places. Or just call Barnes & Noble. Go to Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. It's a lot of places. Thank you so much. I appreciate your opportunity in reaching out to me. And I know that you're a really great healer yourself and connected to all the spirits. And I appreciate the work that you're doing.
Like recognizes like.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. So once again, thank you so much, Gina. She not only has this book, and again, it is Surviving Suicidal Ideology. It is not just talking about the downsides. It actually has things in there that will help you figure out your authentic path to work your way back up, as well as you have a handbook that comes out with that, like later on this year, about just to complement it, so people can actually work through this. Do you want to talk?
Yeah, the first book we fought to change it. It's actually going to be a workbook. So there's safety plans in there. There's meditations. It's the whole workbook. So if you don't want to tell a soul, you just want to work on it on your own. You're not ready to tell a therapist. That's why I added the therapist in there. This the therapy, she'll explain to why certain things might be happening to you. And because people don't want to tell people right now. So I understand that. And so what, you know, as we normalize this, until then, we have this workbook that you can just kind of work through it. Or even maybe if you have a friend that you're worried about, you can go, oh, I recognize this. I recognize that. So we're just here to try to like combat an epidemic of worldwide proportions. And it's staggering, the numbers. And it's growing, you know, military, LGBTQIA, you know, it just goes on and on. Each community is getting, So thank you for getting the message out, because that's what we need to do, I think.
Absolutely. It is, you know, my honor. And so, yeah, if you are in a situation and you happen to stumble across this podcast or across what the Liberated Healer podcast, which you can find on YouTube and Spotify and Apple, anywhere you can get your podcasts, and you start tapping into this energy, one, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Two, you have permission to love yourself. Three, ground and center, wait one more day, and then connect with healing tools that you might find fun or that you're curious about or all of those things. But this is a beautiful, to me, it feels like a ladder that you have given to us. So when we're in the hole, so deep and dark, all of a sudden there's this glowing ladder and we just have to latch on one step at a time, because you know what, people?
I love
You're worth it. You guys are worth it.
And you know, one last thing, I think people who have lived their entire lives with suicidal ideation do not know that they don't have to live that way.
Good point.
You know what I mean? And that's my message, because I'm, like I said, I'm 54. You know, really when I knew I finally was done with it, like was 3 years ago. So it's almost up to my 50s. But you don't have to live your whole life with this, because you actually think it's a part of you that you'll never heal it. Right. And I'm just saying that you can. And that's why I wanted to tell people, like, you can. I can't hurt myself at all. I start laughing if I'm like, whatever. That's the old Gina. She's gone.
Love that. Love that. So awesome. Thank you again. Oh, Gina, thank you. So thank you for tuning into yet another episode of Belief Being and Beyond podcast. Please send a review. It helps a lot. And you can view this on my YouTube channel if you want to see Gina's lovely face and then their comment and everything. But blessings to each of you. You guys are worth it. Thank you so much, Gina.
Bye.